Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to Dauber Prospects Report, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is report number 54. I'm Victor Nuno, one of the co-hosts here. And with me is Peter Harling. How you doing, Pete?
Hey, Victor. I'm great, man. I'm great. Actually, I'm home off work with a bad back, but that sucks. Otherwise, it's given me lots of time to do hockey writing. We got some stuff coming out on Dauber Prospects. Each day, we've got the organizational rankings trickling out. And start to do a little bit of prep work for the Fantasy Prospect Report, which is one of my favorite things to contribute to and read each year. How about you?
Oh, yeah, definitely the Bible of fantasy hockey reports. It's a great, great thing. Yeah, and I have a couple of my organizational reports coming up soon. I'm doing well. My first few weeks of April was insane. I was like barely home and had all kinds of stuff going on, but I'm happy that things are slowing down a little bit and I get some R&R. So happy to do that as well as taking all the great hockey that's going on. I mean, that's great stuff. And part of that is what we're going to talk about today is the World Under 18 tournament. It's a great tournament to check out. A lot of great prospects, mainly the draft eligible guys, but some underagers as well. So oftentimes it's a great time to see them in a different context. That's what we're going to talk about today. And this episode is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Follow at HockeyPodNet. For more great hockey podcasts, you can use the DraftKings promo code THPN for listening to the show. We're on that in a bit. And we're also proudly sponsored by Fantrax, the ultimate league manager for any dynasty sport you play. Completely customizable for however you want to set up your league, from scoring categories and amazing draft room to host a draft, draft pick trading, treasury options, and so much more. Use the promo code to sign up for a free league using fantrax.com/DPR show. So the plan for today is, yeah, we're going to talk about the U18, preview it a little bit with some of the guys that we're watching. This is a really important time for a lot of these players to make their final case for how they're going to be perceived in terms of their draft eligible season. And it might affect their draft slot, might move them up or down, depending on how it goes. And for some of these prospects, I know that we're going to touch on, we haven't seen them in a while. We haven't seen them. They were injured or they've had other issues, or it's just seeing them in the context of their national team in a different role. Maybe it's up a level or down a level, depending on what's going on. So we'll kind of not preview everybody, but talk about some ones that we're interested. How's that plan? How does that sound to you, Pete?
Sounds awesome. There's a couple of tournaments each year that I really look forward to for draft eligibles. It starts with the Hlinka and it ends with this one right here. And there's quite a bit in between. Some of these guys are in World Juniors, but not too many draft eligible players make the World Juniors. So this is a huge tournament for players. I mean, some guys will pass on it because their body of work for the season has pretty much established their draft ranking status wherever they are. So they'll just go into the combine and do some testing and interviews, and that'll be it. Some other players, though, like you mentioned, need this opportunity to put in one last impression, one last push to try and get them, you know, on the draft radar or into a higher round or whatever. So it's also really helpful for people in fantasy leagues like the ones that we're in and our listener leagues, because these are some guys that'll be in your prospect draft. And, you know, a lot of the European countries, it's difficult to see these players play here in North America unless you're paying for some subscriptions to some programs or whatever. Or if you're in Europe, it's difficult to see the CHL or the NCAA and college players. So it's a great opportunity to get a look in and do some scouting for your fantasy team, which is what we're doing today. So why don't we get into it, Victor? I think the first country we're going to talk about is Czechia, which goes to you, and you got a couple players there. So I'll turn it over to you, bud.
Yeah, sounds good. Czechia definitely looking to have a little bit better performance than they had last season. I believe they went out in the quarters. I can't remember exactly, but I was reading a preview from Marek Novotný over DP Ringside about how they want to do a little bit better. And this should be a good opportunity. They have a pretty decent roster, I will say. And there's some really interesting players that I think are worth discussing. One of the ones I'm most excited about, of course, is Adam Jiříček. And Adam Jiříček is David Jiříček's little brother. And he, like David, unfortunately, got injured at the World Junior Championship. That was really unfortunate that we didn't get to see the rest of him during his draft season. He's you know, definitely different than his brother. He's got decent size, 6'2", 168 pounds. One thing that's true for him is that he's really young. He actually doesn't turn 18 until the draft. What a cool thing to be drafted on your birthday. So that'll be pretty fun. But he played this entire season, well, what he played of it, as a 17-year-old, which is super impressive. He played in the top Czech league. Now, he didn't score a lot. He had one assist in 19 games. A lot was made of his lack of scoring, but, you know, it's a really tough league, and he was really young. He did play a few games at the U20 level, and then, you know, he played some international games. So there were some other viewings of him, but we haven't seen him since January. It's been, or I think that was even December when that happened. So we haven't seen, we will not have seen him for 4 or 5 months. It'll be great to get an impression of him that is different. And one thing that I also thought was kind of interesting is our European scout, Freepee Ringside, Lassie Allenen, wrote up this comparison of him to his fellow Czech draft eligible, and that is Tomáš Galvas. And he's also playing in the top league there in Czechia, but for a different team. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. What is it? Billy Tigri Liberec? I guess I did try and probably butchered it. Anyways, he isn't scoring a whole lot more either, just 7 points in 32 games. But what I find interesting about Tomáš Galvas is that he has the tracking data that Lassie Allenen has looks way better than Juracek, like dramatically better. His offense, his expected goals are much bigger. I should also mention, in case anyone didn't know, both of these are defensemen. So Juracek and Galvas, both defensemen. Juracek a little bit bigger, at 6'2", Galvas 6'5", 11, 5'10"-ish. And Galvas, you know, his offense, his expected goals, expected primary assists, all that look really, really good. His transition game looks pretty solid as well. A lot of controlled exits and entries. His primary point involvement and game score, all of these things that they track, the microdata looks excellent to the point where his overall score is in the 90s. Offense at 94, defense at 71, transition at 66. Adam, you're based on, you know, a little bit more limited sample size based on the beginning of the year. And the offense was quite a bit lower at 46%, defense at 63%, and transition at 29%. So, you know, Juracek's getting a lot more of the fanfare, and he's certainly rated a whole lot higher. Juracek is consolidated number 17. Galvas is number 44. So there's definitely a wide spread in terms of where these two seem to be going. And of course, we have data on his brother, on Juracek's brother. So we know sort of a proof of concept there. But I think it's really interesting, you know, comparing the two. And Galvas, the reason I'm interested in watching him is maybe he's a bit of a sleeper that could be, you know, a second round pick-ish that could end up being a really strong asset for a team. I don't know that he really has that much offense, you know, at the next level to give, but the micro data suggests that he does and that he could be a really good, you know, potential later round pick for you and your team. So, you know, I'm interested to see. I think how these two do is gonna definitely speak to how well the team does as a whole, because they, you know, they're definitely going to be outmanned in terms of the firepower that the Americans, Canadians, the Swedes, and the Finns are the host country. It's going to be rough for them to get a medal. But if they're stout draft eligible defensemen can take them a long way, then they could go far. What do you think about these two, Pete? Adam Juracek and Tomáš Galvas.
So Juracek checks two of the boxes that we talked about for things, points of interest in this, where he's been injured, so we haven't had a lot of viewings for him this season, and he's been playing men's league, so it'd be interesting to see how he plays against his peer group, especially as a younger player. And his birthday being on the draft is very cool. And you know how players can kind of pick their draft song for when they walk on stage. I wonder if he picks Happy Birthday. That would be pretty funny. So yeah, he's a player I'm interested in too. He's got the name recognition with his older brother David, and if he could be pretty close to the upside that we see with David Juracek, then that's pretty tempting. There's a couple of the younger brothers defensemen in this draft. We'll talk about another one when we hit USA, who are on my radar. Tomáš Galvas, like you said, I don't really know much about him. Never seen him play, so this is a great little hidden gem player for me to put on my watch list for the tournament. I'll be curious to see how he does. The size is a little bit concerning. We'll see what his offensive prowess looks like in games, but that's all I got on these guys. Why don't we stay in Europe and talk about a couple Swedes?
Yeah, Sweden, there's some really interesting players here. They don't have necessarily like the highest. This isn't like the best crop of Swedish players. The first few that I'll be talking about, the first couple I'll be talking about, the highest rated one is 38 overall in the consolidated ranking. 38 and 40 are the ones that we have. And so there isn't like a super high-end one, but there's some really interesting players, and so we'll talk about them. So the two that I wanted to mention are Alphonse Frey and Leo Selin Wallenius. These are both defensemen, so Pete immediately fell asleep and stopped listening because he hates defensemen, as we all know. No argument there. Just kidding. So these are, you know, defensemen, and they aren't necessarily the most offensive defensemen, although I think that there's potentially a little bit more room to grow there. I mean, we'll have to kind of see how it goes for these two. But the first one we'll talk about, so Alphonse Frey is the first one. So he's a 6'1", 196-pound left-handed D, and he's been playing pretty much just in the J20 version of the league there. He hasn't had any time with the SHL club. He plays for Växjö Lakers, and he has 33 points in 40 games, currently in the playoffs, 3 points in 5 games. He's a really good skater, great transition player, Alphonse Frey. So that's one of the big things with him, is that he's kind of that modern defenseman, just good puck mover, good in transition, very mobile, moves things quickly. He's not the best in zone defender. So when the puck gets stuck in his zone and he has to be really physical, that's maybe not his strong suit, but he's got decent size at 6'1", 196. It's not like he's tiny or anything. And he's scoring pretty well at the J20. League. I'm not sure that he's like a top power play guy. He seems like a secondary scoring, you know, kind of defenseman. His hockey prospecting does have him at 8% chance of being a star, so there's something there. It's not awful. The other guy, Leo Selin Wallenius, I think I'm a little bit more excited about him, even though the size is maybe, you know, a little bit less. 6 foot, 179 pounds. Both these guys left-handed D. Wallenius is a really good skater, and I think what I like more about him is that he's really smart. He kind of reads and reacts to the play and kind of takes what's in front of him. He's not forcing things. He's really just kind of optimizing and working with his teammates, kind of helping to dissect the defensive structure that's in front of him. So I really like this. I really like Selin Wallenius. I think in terms of later defensemen that you can get at value, he's probably one of the better ones because he'll be available, you know, with a late fantasy pick, you know, depending on where he goes in the actual draft. Looks like he'll probably go in the actual mid second round or so. And I think there might be some untapped offense there because he has about 15% chance of being a star in terms of his production, because he's actually been doing pretty well as well in the J20, 42 points in 43 games for the same team. So that's the other interesting thing, is both these guys play for the same junior team. So it'll be interesting to see how they get prioritized on the national team and, you know, who gets what opportunity. So I'm interested to see these two, Alphonse Frey, Leo Selin Wallenius, and then I'll throw in one more, and that is a not draft eligible player, but this is a 2025 eligible, and this is Victor Eklund. This is William Eklund's younger brother. And he's 17, he's not draft eligible, but he's an October 3rd birthday. So next year, he will be very old for the draft class. Like, he's only a couple weeks away from being eligible for this draft year. So, you know, he's kind of, you know, in that similar mold, although he just missed the cutoff by a little bit. He's been tearing up the J20, Victor Eklund, 25 points in 30 games for Djurgården Gardens. You know, they were recently relegated. So he has actually played some Hockey Allsvenskan games, which, you know, is the only option they have unless he was on loan to another team. So he can't play in the SHL unless he, you know, gets loaned out. But 4 points in 15 Allsvenskan games is pretty decent for Victor Eklund and Djurgården. So yeah, it's a little early probably to be talking about him, but I think it's a fun story to follow. And I think as we as we follow along the next year, it could be really interesting to see how he transitions in terms of how he develops and how he evolves in terms of next year, because he'll be really old for the draft season next season. So I'm interested in those three: Pete, Leo, Celine Wallinius, Alphonse Frey, and Victor Eklund. Do you have any thoughts on those three?
Well, this is turning into the birthday episode, because October 3rd is my birthday too.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Everything seems to be coming up birthday on today's show, everyone. So Eklund is a player that's interesting. I'll be keeping my eye on him for the 25 draft, but kind of focusing more on the 24 guys. You know, Alphonse Frege is a player who in the second half of this season has been really getting a lot of attention from the scouting community. And I think his draft stock is rising, at least in the online community. I'm not sure how NHL scouts feel about him. Those opinions don't always line up, as you may know. And then the Leo Chalin-Wallenius player is another guy who I've got on my radar too. And I'll be looking forward to seeing both these guys play. I like how there's no size concern with either of these guys either. I kind of getting back on the size matters bandwagon as the flavor in the NHL is kind of changing to keep up. But there's a bunch of other players on Sweden too that are very interesting, and I'll be curious to see them play as well. And that would be scrolling. Alexander Zetterberg and Lucas Pedersen, Melvin Fernstrom. Those are all, I think, some of the more prolific offensive players, the guys that are the leaders in the scoring for Team Sweden. So I'm curious to see what those guys can do and if they can adjust where I have them ranked on my fantasy rankings, Victor. So let's stay in Europe and take a quick flight over to Finland, who is the host of this tournament this year. And I got a couple players for Finland, Victor, that I want to talk about. First and foremost is Aaron Kiviaru, the left shot defenseman who this time a year ago or so was in the top five rankings on most people's list. If you go back to when he was 16, he was one of the top five for sure players. And he's really kind of fallen down the charts, similar to what we've seen from Atu Ratu a few years ago. This one is because of an injury, though. Mainly, he's played 7 games this season. That's it. He blew his knee out. You know, there are some aspects of his game that I think needed to be answered this season, like his physicality and defensive game and the lack of games. Obviously, he didn't do anything to quell those concerns. So what he is, just so everyone knows, he's a 5'10", 165-pound left-shot defenseman, and he's currently the consolidated 23rd overall ranked player on Elite Prospects. And he's already played in this tournament 2 times, which I think is really cool and important to note. He played as a 16 and a 17-year-old, and he's got a total of 13 points in those 2 tournaments through 11 games. So he's been an underage player, and he's performed at over a point a game pace as a defenseman. And that's really impressive. It's safe to assume that if he's got his stride back and he's feeling in game and up to speed, I mean, he's kind of missed the entire season, hasn't really had a training camp or anything. So these players are all coming off seasons and they're in what should be playoff form. So you have to keep that in mind and give him a bit of a grain of salt when you're judging his game overall. But I'm still going to judge, and I'm still going to watch. He started the year at the Hlinka. I think that's important to note as well, Victor, and he had 6 points in 5 games there, helped Finland win the bronze medal. He's a big deal there. He's been named captain for Team Suomi this year, so, you know, his leadership, having been a repeat player for this tournament for Finland, goes a long way. But he hasn't played since September 30th, which was forever ago. So he's got so much to play for in this tournament to reclaim his draft status. I don't think, no matter how good he plays, he's going to get back into a top 5 consideration. I just think there's too much opinion for him to overcome, no matter how good he is. But he can hold on to his first round status if that's where he is right now, and maybe move back up into, like, you know, a mid round, the first round, if everything breaks well for him. Despite not playing this year, he's maintained a 15% star probability on Hockey Prospecting. He's got a 52% NHL upside. Some of the comps we see there are meh. Josh Morrissey is probably the best one. Dennis Weidman was another one. Sean Day is in there, but Sean Day's kind of looking like he started off strong when he was really young and then faded out really hard as he got older, which I think is maybe a concern that we're seeing here with Kiviaru. But, you know, this is a player who, if you watch the tournament and you like what you see from him, if he plays really well, you might be able to get some sneaky value out of him. You know, we saw players drop in the draft status, specifically Finns with Ratty and Brad Lambert. And looks like their stock is rebounding. They're looking okay right now. They haven't made it yet, but they're still in their development path. But you might have got some sneaky good value on those players if they fell in your fantasy draft, just because there's so much bad media about them their draft year, kind of the way there has been for Kiviaru. So player to watch there. Another guy from Finland who I want to talk about is Emil Hemming. He's playing for TPS in the Liga. He's a 6'2", 194-pound right winger, and he is draft eligible. He's the EP consolidated ranked 24th player. And in the Liga this year, he's played 40 games there. He's got 7 goals and 4 assists for 11 points. He's played a little bit at the U20 this season as well, 13 games. And he's got 11 goals and 18 points against his peer group. So he's racked up points in 5 games at the Hlinka at the start of the season as well, playing there. So he's proven that he can be a effective and productive offensive player in his peer group. And playing at the Liga, he's getting reduced minutes there and a bottom pairing line and defensive and checking responsibilities. And, you know, that's great. That's good development for him. It's learning how to play pro against pro players, refining his defensive and physical game. But he still has some offensive upside there. And I'm looking to see that in this tournament. I'll be watching to see what kind of production we can expect from him should he make it to the NHL. He played for Finland at the World Juniors as well, but he only had 2 points there. So that kind of goes against what I just said. So I'll be looking for the real Hemming. Please stand up. It's what he is also, he's a nice little blend of size. He's got a really good hard shot. He's got some skill to his game, and he's got 2-way upside as well. So that all seems really NHL projectable. So he's a player I've definitely got on my radar. I got a soft spot for the Finns too. His star probability is pretty low, 3%. It's always his NHL probabilities as well. So I'm a little bit curious about that and a little bit gun shy about it as well. Some of his comps are also a little underwhelming. Nate Gerb, Anders Lee. Anders Lee is probably the best comp I've seen for him in terms of upside. Any thoughts on these two Finns, Victor?
Well, yeah, and others. Other Finns, but no, definitely these are interesting. So Kiviharju is, like you said, has been highly touted for a long time. And then, like some other highly touted Finns, have kind of trended downward, but the injury certainly didn't do him any favors. It would have been really interesting to see him throughout the season. And I think this tournament in particular is bigger for him than just about anyone else, because he has missed the whole season and he could really put an emphatic stamp on the fact that he deserves to be ranked higher, or he could just kind of waffle and end up kind of in the same spot. You know, consolidated, he's at 23. I know some rankers have him in the teens. Some still think he's a top 15 prospect. That's kind of a rare opinion. Some have him like late in the second round. So it's all over the place. I don't think you mentioned his size, or maybe I missed it, but that's a really important factor, because he's small. He's 5'10", 165, but he is really smart, really dynamic. Like, he is kind of that modern defenseman. The bigger question for him is, like, can he just hang with the bigger, stronger players? Because he clearly moves the puck well. He can see the ice really well. He makes great, you know, passes, strong plays. You said leader, captain. That's all going to be really important for Aaron Kiviharju. But I think there's still questions about how he projects to the NHL, because we've seen some of these smaller mobile defensemen struggle a bit, and he might fall into that. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I agree. I'm really excited to see him. And there was a lot of back and forth for a while about, will he play? Will he not play? Is he going to be ready? And yeah, it turns out he's going to be ready. And that's great for him and all of us to be able to watch him. Hemming is interesting. I think that he's another one with an extremely late birthday. So Emil Hemming is June 27th. So all these, the reason I think it's important when it's that late, I mean, he's played this whole season at 17. And that's kind of a big deal when you're playing in the Liga, you know, 11 points in 40 games. You know, and we talked about this on Fantasy Hockey Life. When you have such rare scoring, it can skew the data a bit. So Liga is a low scoring league. He had 11 points in 40 games. That's not a lot of events to, you know, place your mathematical model on. So I think it's probably underestimating what he can do quite a bit. I don't think he's like a top line for sure guy, but I think he has top line upside. I think he's pretty raw. I think he has a lot of the development to go. And it'll be interesting to see what he does here at this tournament. So I'm excited about him. We're not going to talk too much about the other two, but we should just mention Konsta Hellenius is the highest ranked Finn at 8. And I think we've talked a lot about him, and he's pretty exciting. So that is going to be fun. And I do believe he got named to the team, if I'm not mistaken. Or did I imagine that, Pete? There was some thought of Konsta Hellenius going to the men's World Championship, but I believe they loaned him back.
No, he's not there. I would have had him on my list.
Yeah. Maybe he's not there. But anyways, I think that's one of those things where he's kind of shown what he can show. And the other fan that I just wanted to mention real quick is Jussi Pulkkinen, who's not eligible for this tournament because he's older. And it's pretty rare for an overager to be ranked so highly, but he could be taken in the first round, Jussi Pulkkinen, and he didn't get drafted at all last year, and then he's been doing really well in the Liga. So I know we're focusing on U18, but I just for completeness wanted to mention the other Finn who could go pretty high. So in case you're wondering, that's why he's not at the tournament, because he's too old. He can't be there.
Yeah, people will be, you know, wondering where these guys are, so it's good to let them know why they're not in the tournament.
Yeah. All right. I don't think Konsta Hellenius has anything to prove at this tournament based on what he did this year.
Right. Right. Exactly. He's one of those players that has kind of established himself. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. So let's talk a little bit about our North America. We'll go USA or Canada. Where do you want to start?
I'll let you go last. So I'll go first.
We can go back and forth. You start with Trevor Connolly, and then I'll hit on a Canadian.
Sounds good. So yeah, there's definitely a lot more guys to talk about between US and Canada. These are definitely two of the most stacked squads, I would say, for sure. Although this year, I don't think is as stacked for the Americans as it has been in the past. Like, and that's something that'll come up when I talk about these players, the USNTDB being not quite what it has been in the past. But this first player, Trevor Connolly, isn't on the USNTDB, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But he is, Trevor Connolly, the highest ranked American player. Wait, no. Steve Bouillon, Cole Iserman, then Trevor Connolly. But I don't think you're going to see, we don't have the final list, but we should see Iserman. And I didn't mention him just because I think we kind of know what he is. He's a goal scorer. Yeah, I'm a little interested to see his off puck game. We've talked about that a lot, so I'm not going to dive too much into Cole Iserman. Steve Bouillon, I think we already know he's a friggin' star, national title, NCAA. I don't think he has much to prove at this tournament if he's even coming. But Trevor Connolly, I think, has, of all the Americans, probably the most to prove of this group. And he's ranked 15th. He's a left wing, 6'1, 161 pound. it's really going to be interesting to see where he comes out. He did really well this season for Tri-City of the Storm. He's, in fact, of all these top players from America, only he and Booyam are not on the USNTDP. And Booyam was last season, but Connolly was not and has not been. And I think that that might have something to do with some of the character concerns that have come up about Connolly. And he's bounced around to a bunch of different teams. Scott Wheeler wrote a great article recapping all of those concerns. So I encourage you to go read that at The Athletic if you're interested. So I don't really want to get into that too much, but I think it is in the background of everything. Whenever people talk about Trevor Connolly, they do kind of mention that there are these potential character concerns. So that's going to be interesting to follow. But this tournament could make it harder and harder for teams to pass on him if they are worried about some of these other factors. And, you know, I was looking at his EP ringside page, and it doesn't list any of his USA representations, but he did go to the Ivan Hlinka, and he did go, Hlinka Gretzky, and he did go to the World Junior A Challenge. So he has represented USA there, but this would be a really important representation for him. And he did really well for Tri-City this year. He was with Tri-City of the USHL last year. This season, he had 78 points in 52 games. He's going to Providence next season, so that's going to be a good development path for him. And Tri-City wasn't like a great team. They finished fourth out of the eight teams in the Western USHL. So that's pretty great production for a middling USHL team. And Connolly is a pretty dynamic one-on-one, you know, beat you kind of guy, undress you kind of thing. But he also has a really good shot and has a pretty good chance of being a top six player. So those are kind of hard to find in the mid to late first round, especially if he falls for some of these, you know, other issues, then he could be a really good late round draft steal. And Hockey Prospecting has him at 25% chance of being a star. I pulled up a comp for, he has a lot of comps that are kind of interesting, but I think Jack Roslovic is probably pretty similar. They were both in the USHL. Connolly had a little bit better production in the league. And then they also went to the NCAA in their, you know, will go and did go. So that might be a similar trajectory in terms of kind of outcome if you're thinking about what he might be at the NHL level. So Trevor Connolly, definitely someone who has a lot to prove and will be very interesting to watch at this tournament. You have thoughts on him, Pete?
Yeah, this will be a really important tournament for him, like you said, but I think not as important as the combine will be in the interview process, as teams will get an opportunity to ask their psychological evaluation questions and get an opinion about his sort of character. I don't know if you're a fantasy manager, if you care about that kind of stuff, if you're comfortable having jerks on your roster, and there's plenty of them in hockey, then that shouldn't move the needle for you. And this tournament will be really important. You can just kind of watch and see what a talented and highly skilled player he is. I guess my concern with players' character is, if it's that bad, then no matter how good of a player they are, they might have a hard time sticking in the NHL. But he is a young man. And I made some really questionable choices when I was young, and hopefully he's maturing and growing and learning from mistakes that he's made. And I think that's possible, and I like to give people second chances. So we'll watch what he does in the tournament and see how he plays, right? So if you've not ever heard of Gavin McKenna yet, then this is a player you want to pay close attention to. Gavin McKenna is a 16-year-old, 6-foot, 165-pound forward for the Medicine Hat Tigers in the WHL. He was their first overall selection. He is 2026 NHL draft eligible. So we're 2 years out on this player. But I have to talk about him because he's made the Canadian roster for the U18s here. Because in 61 games this season, he had 34 goals and 63 assists. For 97 points in his rookie year, 12th overall in league scoring. And that is a scoring pace at a rookie level that is on pace with guys like Connor Bedard. Only the third ever D-2 player in WHL history to hit the 30-goal mark. And he is the all-time D-2 scoring leader in WHL history, because he played more games than Connor Bedard. Connor Bedard had more points per game. Interesting distinction there. So this could be a player worth tanking in your fantasy draft in two seasons is what I'm talking about. It's too soon to really start making the Connor Bedard comparisons and upside projections. But, you know, this sort of play and him making this tournament and things that he could do in this tournament could really start kickstarting that kind of a conversation. And this is a player who I'm really probably the most excited player I am for this tournament to watch, Victor. We got 2 years to wait on him before we can draft him, but there's a lot to like here, eh?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, he's going to be ridiculous. So what he's doing already at 16 is just bananas. We didn't think we'd see it again so soon after Bedard, but it's happening again. And I do, yeah, like you said, all the comps, like the, it's whether or not one is slightly more than the other, I think the point is that they're kind of in the same ballpark, which is just all you need to know about your 2026 draft picks in terms of whether you should acquire them. Because people always ask this, right? Like, oh, maybe I'll trade a first in 24 and 25 for 26 or something like that. Is that something you should consider? And knowing how high end the talent is part of that calculus. And there definitely is potentially a franchise altering player at the top. And so that's definitely worth considering. Of course, 25 is going to be pretty good too. But I think that, yeah, that's going to be a really strong player to try to acquire.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of players have tremendous seasons at a certain age. And we talked about Sean Day, that he was an exceptional status player. And, you know, you think, oh, he was like the third or the fourth guy to get it. He was one of the early ones. And, you know, well, that's a player I'm gonna tank for. And it didn't really work out. So we'll see, make sure he doesn't peak as a 16-year-old. But all signs are pointing in the right direction. He just needs to keep that train on the tracks, and he'll be the first overall pick. Back to USA.
The next guy that we're going to talk about a little bit down the list, a little bit in terms of the consolidated ranks, number 55, that's Teddy Stiga. And he's an interesting player because he's 5'10", 176 pounds, 65 points in 53 games for the NTDP. Good production, not amazing, but pretty solid. He's off to Boston College next year. We'll kind of see what the forward group looks like. Definitely some positions have already opened up in terms of, you know, people like Cutter Gauthier left already. And I, as we're recording this, I have not heard if any of the other forwards are leaving, but I know that Will Smith and, well, Mike Greer said Will Smith seems NHL ready to him, which is interesting. Maybe he'll come out because of that, but there'll be some pretty good players there. So he'll get some opportunity to play with good players, but also have a little bit more opportunity, which is nice. I think one of the things that's about Stiga that sticks out to me is that none of his skills are super outstanding, but he seems to be one of these guys that is much more than the sum of his parts and kind of one of those glue guys that'll just kind of do anything you need and, you know, can help you win because he's not a one trick pony. He really will, you know, do, you know, he'll hit, he'll back check, he'll steal pucks, he'll, you know, he'll score, he'll play make, he'll do any of those things. And he's really good at all of them. It's just none of them are amazing. And I think he's someone who could really raise his stock at the U18s. He's currently rated 55 consolidated. If he has a fantastic tournament, I don't think he sneaks into the first round, but maybe he can move up, you know, a dozen spots or something like that and go earlier in the second round. So that could make a big difference for him. The comp that I pulled out for him, because he's a little bit of a smaller guy, Mike Comrie, seems like that might be an appropriate comp. He certainly had some bouts of relevance and, you know, some outstanding seasons and some more average seasons. So that's Teddy Stiga, and I'll save the best for last, Pete. What do you think about him?
So I haven't seen him play yet. I don't get a lot of US NTDB games, but, you know, Russ Cohen, who shares a birthday with me, by the way, staying on the birthday theme, October 3rd. He's got him in his first round and his most recent draft rankings over on NHL Draft Buzz. So that's good enough for me as an indication for a player that I really want to pay close attention to, watch him in this tournament and see where he goes on draft day and who drafts him, and then slot him in accordingly on my own draft ranking. All right, so moving back to Canada, let's start talking about some draft-eligible Canadian players. And the first guy I'll talk about is Liam Greentree, Windsor Spitfires of the OHL. Right wing, he's 6'2", 196, and like I said, he's 24 draft-eligible. He is the 11th overall consolidated player on elite prospects, and I have him ranked around 15th currently, but it changes every time I look at it. In his second season in the OHL, he was named captain for the Spitfires, so you really like to see a player at that age get that much responsibility and be identified for his character and leadership in the dressing room. He took that seat and ran with it. In 64 games this season, he racked up 36 goals, 54 assists for 90 points. That's outstanding. So he's got size and he can score and he's got good character. He started this season before all that at the Hlinka. He had one assist in three games. So he'll be looking for a better showing at the U18s than he had at the Hlinka. He's a really skilled player with above average puck skills. Handling, passing, shooting are all above average. That combination with his size and leadership make him a potential top 10 pick range. I think this is a really strong draft, so he might not crack the top 10, but he's going to be one of the guys who, if you miss out on your top 10, he's a good consolation prize. What holds him back is his skating. The Dauber Prospects profile says that he's got a heavy stride. I've seen it in person too. They're not wrong, but that's a correctable deficiency that can be overcome with coaching and hard work, as we always say. The upside here is he's a fringe star potential. His PHNLE is 69, which has him just below first line player. His comps there are Thomas Hertl, Bobby Ryan. And if things break well for him, you could be looking at maybe a Tage Thompson or Jason Robertson kind of upside. But that would be lottery winning kind of scenario. This is going to be an important tournament for him to hold on to a spot in the top 15 rankings. He's got to do much better than he did in the Hlinka. His star probabilities are 25% and 53%, according to Hockey Prospecting. So that is my take. Scouting preliminary report on Liam Greentree. Victor, what are you going to look for from him in this tournament?
Yeah, I think some of the mobility, as you mentioned, some of that off-puck play, I'm definitely interested to see how he jives with a little bit more talent around him. You know, we saw him do well at the Top Prospects game, which is just one event, but he'll have a little bit more opportunity to jive with his teammates and play with more talent around him, which is good. It's always nice to see them excel as the main guy on their junior team, but it's also, I think, really important to see how they do with a little bit more skill around him and in front of him, you know, obviously playing against better players as well. So I think he's definitely, no question, one of the best OHLers, and maybe not the most amazing OHL draft, but he definitely is someone that I could see, you know, he's probably going to go in the mid-teens, and I could see with a late first-round pick, depending on the size of your league, I could see him being a really solid option for you there. So I like that. I like him, and I think he has, you know, like you said, pretty good chance of being a top line forward in the NHL at some point. At least that's his upside. And I like the kind of Hertl, Bobby Ryan, somewhere in between there seems like a good projection for him. All right, let's move on to my last one, and that is Cole Hudson. Yes, we're going through this again. Lane last year, Cole this year. It is Lane's little brother. Although he's a little bigger than Lane was at the same age, Cole is already 5'10", but a little slighter, 159 pounds. They're both defensemen, left-handed D. The one difference, though, again, birth dates, Cole is a June 28th birth date. So if he gets picked in the first round, which is not for sure, because a lot of the draft rankings have him as a second rounder, some have him in the first. So his birthday is on the first day, I believe, of the draft. So, but he's played this entire season as a 17-year-old. And if you look at the U17 production for Cole, it was better than his brother. He had a super strong under-17 season for the USNTDP with a really strong production there. This season, 42 points in 42 games was what it was. And then, but at the U18 level, Lane was a little bit better. So we're always going to have to compare these two because, you know, well, we have a little bit more data on Lane. We've seen what he's done at the NCAA level. We've even seen him make his pro debut, which has been really fun. So it's interesting to kind of compare the two. In some ways, Cole looks a little bit better. In other ways, he looks like he's not quite as far along. But it's important to keep in mind that he's something like 7 months, 6 or 7 months younger in terms of where Lane was at the same age in terms of his production, which can make a big difference, right? In terms of where you're at. Yeah, Lane was a February birth date. So he's got 6 months of development time. And at that age, it can make a big difference. So Cole also is headed to BU. He's basically just going to take Lane's spot there because he left. He signed his pro contract. He's off to Montreal. He did play for the Canadiens a couple times. I have a feeling he might play more for Laval next season and then work his way up. But really strong production for Cole, 38 points and 43 points, 43 games this season. And I think it's also kind of worth mentioning that, as I mentioned at the top, the USNTDP this year was not amazing. Like, Lane had far better forwards and better scoring to work with. So that might have helped his point totals. I do think that Lane is a little bit smarter in terms of his IQ, in terms of seeing the play and being a little bit more dynamic with passes that you didn't know were there and kind of setting guys up and really, you know, undressing players as we've seen him do. I don't think Cole is going to do that as much, but he's a bit more physical already in his own zone. He'll knock guys off the puck, which is great. He's a little bit bigger. He's a better skater. So all those things may help him a little bit more as he transitions to college. But this tournament could be a real showing out for him and could really help him get drafted on day one instead of day two, you know, which is always a great thing to do. You always want to go as early as possible, obviously. So I'm really excited to see Cole. I'm really excited to see what he can do with this version of the Americans, which isn't as stacked nearly as they were last year. I believe they're the defending champ. So I don't know. If he wants to get drafted on his birthday, June 28th, he's gonna have to show out pretty well, which I think is a great goal. But even if he got drafted the next day, second round, 29th, it'll be okay, right, Pete?
No, first round or nothing. That's unacceptable. You know, when Lane was picked, I thought he was gonna be nowhere near the first or second round. And when he went as high as he did, I was kind of disappointed. But then he went even higher in all the fantasy drafts. He was a first round pick in every fantasy league I was in. So damn you people for listening to this show. Really, really kiboshed my draft strategy. I wanted Lane so bad. So the trick I'm going to have this year, Victor, is we'll see when Cole gets picked and in the NHL draft. And then based on that, where do I want to target him in my fantasy draft? Because through the couple of leagues that I'm in, I got a lot of early picks this year. It's going to be a fun draft season for me this summer. I got to avoid the pitfall of overreaching for him. But then again, I don't want to miss out entirely on him as well. So it's going to be interesting to watch him play. And he'll go to BU, of course, which also gives him more desirability for me because I'm a Boston Terrier guy. So he's going to be playing with his older brother there as well, Quinn Hudson. He's still eligible to play in NCAA. So he'll have his brother there, but not Lane. So lots of interest in the Hudsons there. Okay, so going back to Canada, I got two more guys to talk about, actually. Three more guys. Good Lord. So we'll see if we cover all three of them. Depends on time. Merrick Vanacker, Brantford Bulldogs in the OHL. He's a left wing, 2024 draft eligible. He's 6 foot, 165 pounds. EP Consolidated Rankings has him at 54th. I got him a little bit higher. I got him just south of 50, around 49. He's got 68 games played in his sophomore season, his draft year, 36 goals, 46 assists for 82 points. He added 7 more points in 6 playoff games before being eliminated as well. That's pretty good. He was not selected for Team Canada for the Hlinka tournament to start the season, probably because he only had 16 points in his rookie year. So he's really popped in his draft season. He was the 23rd overall pick in the OHL priority draft. Hamilton won the championship that year, so they picked late. So he was their first round pick. His play improved all season long after an early season. You know, he had a couple points right out of the gate, and then he had a 6-game slump where he didn't have any points. But then after that, he really got it together. and he had never had back-to-back scoreless games for the rest of the season. If you go through his game log, there's a couple 0-point games in there, but never back-to-back. So that's some pretty consistent scoring for a 17-year-old. He had a 14-game point streak as well in there, starting on January 5th, where he racked up 25 points in that 14-game stretch. So that's pretty good. He could be a great player to watch and target for your fantasy drafts in second or third rounds, right? Like, this is a player who's ranked around the 50s, so you're looking at easily a second round or probably a third round pick if your fantasy leagues are less than 32 teams, right? It's unlikely, no matter how well he plays in this tournament, that he moves into the first round, but his game stock has risen considerably all year. And, you know, he's ranked as a first round pick by one guy, that's Craig Button. Button's got him in his top 32. So interesting player to kind of keep your eye on here. 19% star probability on Hockey Prospecting with a 62 NHL chance. And he's got some pretty favorable draft comps here. You're looking at Joe Sakic, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Cam Neely, Ray Whitney. Those are some pretty lofty comparisons. Bit of a stretch, I think, a little too early to be throwing Joe Sakic out there after, you know, one good season in the OHL. We'll see what he does in this tournament. It'll be his first chance playing on an international stage for Canada. Any quick thoughts on Banneker?
I don't really know a lot about him, so I'm eager to watch him as well.
All right, so moving along, Jet Luchenko is another player I want to talk about. Guelph Storm in the OHL. There's an OHL theme here if you haven't picked that up yet, Victor. He's a center. He's 5'11", 183. Again, 24 draft eligible. EP Consolidated has him just outside the first round at 35. And I got him a little bit further back at 38. He was the Guelph Storm 12th overall pick in their priority draft. Scored 14 points as a rookie and also wasn't selected for the Hlinka to start the season this year. But he's got himself on Canada's roster now based on his 74-point performance through 68 games. He had 20 goals and 54 assists in his draft year. He is a top three vote-getter in the OHL coaches poll this season for best skater, the smartest player, hardest worker, and shootout shooter. That's a nice little haul of acclamations from the coaches in the coaches poll this year. Now, that's if you don't ever see the OHL coaches poll, it's split into conferences. So there's the East and the West, and there's a top three for each category. So basically a top six. But still, I mean, he is at the top of the league in a lot of categories, and that bodes well. He should be in a top six role for Canada in this tournament with an opportunity to try and push the needle and get him into first round on draft day. He'll have to play pretty good. There's a lot of good players in the first round. His star probabilities is 19%, 56% NHL upside. And his comps are a little less impressive, but still good. Steve Sullivan, Radim Verbata are a couple players that he's been compared to for his draft year. Any thoughts on Luchenko?
Listen, if your name is Jet, you better be the best skater. That's all I got to say. So I'm glad he won that, because otherwise it would be very disappointing that he wasn't a fast, good skater. No, he's a really interesting player. And I'm excited to watch him. He's really kind of come out of nowhere after I guess you could easily say subpar season last season in terms of his production. So it's great for him to, you know, be where he is now. And he's also extremely young. This, we've been talking about that a bit, but August 21st, I mean, he's like 3 weeks away from being eligible for next year's draft. And so that, when it's that extreme, I think it does make a difference. And so I think in terms of runway and development, you saw the huge jump he took from last season to this season. You know, there may be even another pretty big jump in his D+1 season coming. So I really like that as well. And so he's someone that I'd be very interested in taking a flyer on later in my fantasy draft.
Yeah, CHL rookies don't typically have prolific seasons as a rookie because they're 16 years old. They're so young, which is what makes Gavin McKenna really exciting. One last little thing I want to talk about here, Victor, before we sign off for this episode, is the goaltending situation for Canada will be an interesting one to watch. You've got Carter George and and Ryerson Lenders. They are both consolidated ranking about the same on EP Ringside, 63 for Lenders and 67 for Carter George. So they're neck and neck. And this is a draft that's not really flush with elite goalie prospects. So if you're looking for a goalie from this draft class, this tournament will be one you want to watch. And Canada will be a team you want to watch to see which one of these goalies can win the crease and play, get the starting role, and hopefully go to the gold medal game. So don't really have a lot of information on these guys. I'm not a very good goalie scout, but I did their hockey prospecting comparisons. And I think I'd give the edge slightly to Carter George. He's got a 47% probability versus 42 for Lenders. He's got comps, Carter George, that does, of Sebastian Kosa is his best comp. And you look at Ryerson Lenders, and the best name on his side is probably Mackenzie Blackwood, Chris Dreger, John Gillies, Michael McNiven. So that's just a little closing comment there. The goaltending situation in Canada will be very interesting to see. And, you know, I always try and draft at least one goalie in fantasy drafts where I have four or more picks. And almost all my leagues, I have four or more picks this year. So I'll be looking for a goalie. And it's probably going to be one of these guys. So this tournament might be the deciding factor. What do you think of that?
Well, goaltending is always a big deal, right? So I think it'll be interesting to see. I agree. Who knows about these two? It's always important to see them at a tournament like this. But yeah, I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be hard to beat the hosts in this tournament. I think the Finns are going to be really difficult. Obviously, Canada is going to have a really good team. They just got some reinforcements as we're recording this today. It wasn't clear if Tejas Ginla was going to go, but he is going. I think that's a huge get for them. And yeah, I think it's probably between them and Finland, maybe Sweden. I don't know that the Americans have the firepower this year to take it down. So it might be between those three. Got any predictions?
Yeah, I think your assessment overall of the talent pool is pretty good. But in these single game elimination tournaments, anything can really happen. I think Liam Greentree will be a player that gets a lot of attention for Canada, a lot of draft buzz. Hudson for the United States will be someone who I think might set Twitter on fire if he does Hudson things. It's always a fun tournament, and I'm really looking forward to starting it. It's a couple days now. It's 2 days out. I think we're recording this on the 23rd. I think it's the 25th it starts, right?
Yep.
Giddy up.
So who's going to win?
Oh, Canada.
Of course. I'll say Finland. It'll be fun. We'll see how to track this.
I'd be all right with Finland. The host nation is always fun. You'll like to see teams win a championship on their home ice. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Dobber Prospects Report number 54, previewing the U18 World Championship and some really talented draft prospects. Feel free to give us some feedback on the show at Twitter, at @DPR_show, at Farling, at VictorNuno12, and at Sabarin91. Things you like about the show, players you want to hear about, scouting reports, anything you want to know, let us know. Don't forget to follow HockeyPodNet as well. There's some pretty great podcasts on that channel. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Give us a 5-star review and let everyone know what a great show it is. Thanks for listening. Have a good day, everyone. Keep your stick on the ice.
Happy birthday to you.
Let's do that hockey.